This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
For today's Daylight magazine, we have Your Bible and You, Youth Corner, and Moment of Truth. I'm your presenter, Emanuela Brefumenta, welcoming you to today's magazine. Stay tuned.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is now time for your Bible and you.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman,
"Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?"
The woman said to the serpent,
"We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die."
"You will not certainly die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil."
When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves.
You just listened to the audio version of Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Keep this in your heart.
Voice of Hope. We will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
Brace yourself for our next segment, Youth Corner.
Leave it to me, I'll lead you on. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll lead you on.
Welcome, listener, to your favorite youth program, Youth Corner. I'm your host, Russell Mensah, and today we are discussing the topic, Healthy Youth Relationships. To have this discussion with me today, we have two gentlemen and a lady from Valley View University. They'll introduce themselves now.
I'm John Louis Opata, teaching assistant, Valley View University.
Pa Ayokusi, teaching assistant, Valley View University.
Tati Emmeline, teaching assistant, Valley View University.
Panelists, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Listener, if you were listening to me the last time, we had a discussion about healthy youth relationships, the first part. And we came out with what a healthy relationship is. Today we are picking up from there and asking ourselves, how relevant is it to have a healthy relationship? And in fact, what is a healthy relationship? What makes a relationship healthy? And so let's start with my brother, Ba. What would you say characterizes a healthy relationship? Is there a benchmark, a set standard for a Christian, so to speak, to have a healthy relationship?
Well, as a Christian, I think the standard should be Christ in the sense that in the relationship, I'm just trying to say that anything that goes against the Bible will not make the relationship healthy. So the basic standard should be Christ and the Bible. Aside that, the two of you might come together and put certain criteria, as my brother said the last time, and these things will help guide and shape the relationship for it to be healthy. At the end of the day, the relationship benefits those parties involved and the people around that relationship. It shouldn't cause problems for anyone. Once it goes in that direction, then, for me, it's a healthy relationship.
What Bas said, Christ should be the foundation of every relationship on this earth. Moving even to marriage, Christ should be the foundation. Because you see, the Bible says that there is no other foundation which has been laid than that which is laid. That is Christ Jesus. And you see, no matter how high a relationship will go, storms will come. Even in the forming of teams, we have storming.
Yes.
Storms will come, but how the relationship is founded will determine how it's going to survive. And I think that once the Bible is saying that there's no foundation which has been laid than Christ, and Christ is a solid rock, why won't I found my relationship on Christ? Christ should be the standard. He should be the foundation of every relationship.
Emma?
Yeah, Christ is the foundation for every relationship. Yeah. What does Christ stand for? Love. Anybody could believe that if I did this and that and that, I'm a Christian. But for you to know that you are living as a friend in Christ, everything, the basis is love. Would you give your life for that person? Would you cover the person when the person has done something? Would you expose the person in public, or would you protect the person's image to make sure that the person is changed? This is all we are talking about. And there's another facet of relationships I'd like us to know, is that we need to let the other person, your partner or friend or whatever, choose to actually be your friend. Friendship is not by force, it's by choice. Sometimes we always have a way of, some people could be so possessive and they think that is a healthy relationship. If I don't hold her too tight, if I don't keep him, he's going to hurt himself. You can't make mistakes for your friend. In fact, being there for that person, praying for that person, makes you a better person than always trying to hoard people or trying to be overprotective.
It's sort of making your job.
Thank you. You want to be like a bodyguard, and you cannot do that. You understand?
That's right. You said that Christ represents love, yes. Right? Let us understand today that love lets go.
Exactly.
Love does not
Thank
keep.
You. That is it.
Whenever you are in a relationship with anyone and you feel you always are fretful, whenever the person is about leaving you,
yeah,
it is not love. It is something else.
Mm-hmm.
Love trusts so much that once it lets go, it has the ability to keep.
Mm-hmm.
That is the kind of love that we are talking about.
Yes.
That is the Christ love.
Yes.
For instance, when God let Christ come into the world, he wasn't afraid because he knew that Christ's love is able to keep the world and to gain the world back. And Jesus himself loved the Father. You get it? So there was a mutual love between the Father and the Son. You get it? That should be the standard.
Then across board, be it in your classroom setting, in your
everywhere
church setting, your football game, your family life, as a young person who says you're a Christian, then you must live like Christ.
That's it.
Because like the name suggests, Christians in the Bible, in Antioch, they were called Christians because they lived their lives like Christ. And so for that matter, anywhere you find yourself, you must live your life like Christ, as Christ would have. Moving on from there, let's look at the other side. We've spoken about Jesus Christ being love. God is love.
Yeah.
And the fact that we should build our relationships on the Christ. Solid rock, with who is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Can we then look at those relationships, intimate relationships, that people say will lead to marriage? And so they're allowed to do everything and whatever they want to do. What is your take on that? Let me start with Emmeline this time.
I guess you're speaking about a man courting a woman, leading to marriage, right? Okay. That's for two people who know where they're going to, not people who are kidding around. So, yes, it is true. Because the thing is, Opata said something in the beginning. It said, talked about Christ being the foundation of your friendship and even leading on to marriage. You know, the relationship I have with a man or male friends can tell the kind of wife I would be, right?
Yes,
we'll tell the kind of fiance I would be, okay? So if I can love my brother or my sister platonically and safely, it will transcend so that whatever I would do with you, you know, when you are so in love with somebody, you tend to be giddy, that's overexcited, and then you think, oh, okay, we are dating, and so you might not hurt the person. But unfortunately, many marriages have been made because of pressure. When I say pressure, for example, a girl gets pregnant before, and then they say, oh, she's pregnant, she can get married. At least we're leading to marriage, so it's okay. Okay? But then, that pregnancy pressures the marriage. So ask yourself, what is the future of the marriage?
So what is the future of the marriage, listener? Let's not pressure ourselves into marriage. Unfortunately, we have to end this session as well. Thank you, listener, for listening to us. We've been having a discussion on healthy youth relationships. I've been your host, Russell. The show was ably produced by Kofi Holman. And with me to have the discussion, we've had Emma Lane, John, and Ba. Guys, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please write to Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 2087 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we are expecting your calls, emails, and letters.
Voice of Hope. We will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
The way to multiply happiness is to draw closer to God through His Word. It is now time for Moment of Truth.
My dear listener, I thank God for your life, and I welcome you to the Moment of Truth. I am Pastor Godfred Kwesi Ataboro. I want to share with you the Word of God. The title of the message is Who Made You? Who Made You? And the scripture will be taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 13 to 15. I read, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' Jesus replied, 'Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?' Then he said to them, 'Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession.'" Amen. Shall we pray? Father, I pray that touch my lips and bless my hearer, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are so many people who come to Jesus Christ, and the purpose for which they seek Him is not the purpose for which Jesus came. Jesus is called the Christ or the Messiah. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says that, "And Mary will deliver a son, and the son shall be called Jesus. For He will save His people." Jesus' name outlines His purpose on it. His name is Jesus, God saves. And therefore His name identifies His purpose. And Jesus knew His purpose on earth very well. In fact, this young man who spoke to Jesus, he had a brother and he had lost their father. And he expected that his brother would share the property and give him his portion. But his elder brother was feeling reluctant to share. And therefore, the Bible says that this young man approached Jesus, knowing that Jesus is a Prince of Peace. When he spoke, there would be peace. Knowing that Jesus is the only righteous judge, he approached Him. Because the Bible says that Jesus will judge the world in righteousness. And I am sure that this young man knew that Jesus is a righteous judge. This young man knew that Jesus is a man of authority, and when He speaks, it shall be. When He says, it shall stand. Therefore, he saw in everything that Jesus is the right person to approach. And so, this young man approached Jesus Christ and spoke to Him. "Please, Jesus, can you speak to my brother that he will share with me my inheritance?" Jesus looked at this young, helpless man. He looked at this young man and said, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" This question Jesus posed to this young man, it seemed that Jesus was rude. It appears that Jesus was not kind enough. But I want to say that Jesus did what he was supposed to do. He asked the man, woman, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? Jesus knew from the beginning what God had purposed for him to do on earth. As I said earlier on, Matthew 1:21 says that the name Jesus means that he is to save man from our sins. And in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse 49, we are told that Jesus and his parents were going for a function, and Jesus retreated behind, and he went into the temple and to teach. His parents sought him and found him not. Then, when they found him, the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, verse 48-49 says, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Verse 49. Why were you searching for me? Jesus asked. Don't you know that I have to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus questioned his parents. Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house, going about my father's business? Jesus always remained focused on his work. Jesus always knew his purpose. And he knew that he came to save. He did not come to settle matters. And when this rich man approached Jesus Christ, Jesus told him frankly, I came to save, I did not come to judge. Jesus knew whom he was, why he was here on earth, so he was focused on his mission and never got distracted by anyone. Every man too has a purpose. When we go to Psalm 95 verse 6, the Bible says that, come, let us bow down. Come, let us kneel and worship before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 100 verse 3 says that, know ye that he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Now the question is, if God made us, for what purpose did God make man? Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 and 27 makes it clear that God said, let us make man in our own image, that he may have dominion over the earth and rule over all my creatures. Therefore, man was made in the image of God to reflect and represent his maker. Man was also made to have dominion or to be a steward over the properties of God. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says that, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I ordained you a prophet. God has a purpose for every man on earth, and that purpose, we must identify it and stick to it. I am praying that you do not get distracted by the cares of this world. You don't get distracted by people or family, but you identify why God made you, and you stick to that purpose. For God will bring every work into judgment. Therefore, whatever you are doing, ask yourself, what does God want me to do? What does God have for me to do in this world? Do that one first, and any other thing is an extracurricular activity. May God bless you as you contemplate to glorify God. May God bless you as you decide to identify his purpose for your life. I pray that God will give you understanding. He will give you discernment, and he will open your eyes to see his path. That when he instructs you, you will walk in his path of righteousness. May God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please contact us on Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or, if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 20 87 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we're expecting your calls, emails, and letters. My dear listener, I believe you have been blessed by our programs. Keep pondering over lessons learned from our magazines to stay blessed. Enjoy the rest of your day. I have been your presenter, Emmanuela Brifumensa. Bye for now.